Small businesses are the cornerstones of our local communities, and small business owners are hardworking and passionate people who are chasing down their ambitions while there's a lot on the line. So, let Verizon champion your small business dreams. Whether you own a small business, are scaling one, or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon business expert. Plus, Verizon business experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon, well, they've got you back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
So why do you want to learn a new language?
I'll tell you why. Because ¿dónde está el baño? Can be a very important question at times. You know, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. Fast track your language acquisition with immersive lessons designed to teach you to pick up languages in a natural way. I love the fact that I can go from my laptop to my phone to pretty much anywhere and learn the language of my choice. Not to mention, I'm bringing my communication skills to new heights. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, StarTalk Radio listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/starttalk. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/starttalk today.
I'm Gary O'Reilly.
And I'm Chuck Nice.
And this is Playing with Science. Once again, we enter the Twitter sphere through the eyes and mind of Neil deGrasse Tyson as he takes his laser pen and points it at the speeding planet of NASCAR. Yeah, you heard me, NASCAR.
Yeah, and did you ever wonder what your very own personal guide to the universe thinks about how planet NASCAR increased its weight but not its mass? Well, stick around, because when you play with fire, you get burned.
When you play with science, you get learned. So ring the bell, school is back in, and our supply teacher for this class is none other than Neil deGrasse Tyson.
That's right, the man himself, Neil.
Hey. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, welcome.
It's a pleasure.
Always happy to be on.
Okay, let's get started.
Do you really mean that? Do you really mean that?
No, I'm happy to, I'm a servant of the curiosity that you bring to your audience. I'm a servant of that.
That was a very nice way of saying, I am not here for you, I am here for your audience.
Yes, that's true. That is exactly true. I don't get ran in by your ass. It's your people out here.
All about you people.
That's right.
It's as simple as that. Right, Chuck, mm-hmm. Let's read the first tweet.
Yeah, so this show is all about the tweets that you have put out.
Yeah.
On Twitter,
yeah.
About NASCAR.
That was a few years ago.
Yeah,
well, you all dug
we
those
did
up?
Some digging.
Yeah, they don't go away, but just to let you know.
We did some digging. And the cool thing is that what I love is, you know, whenever you tweet, it becomes a thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's like, it's just awesome to see the conversation under the tweet.
Yeah.
Where people are arguing back and forth about whatever it is that you said. And then there's
they display their inner geek.
Yes.
Yeah, the inner geek comes out and they fight about it.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's always one person who's just like, yeah, well, I got my degree in astrophysics from DeVry University and Neil is wrong. Like, that's... So, hey, let's read our first tweet.
Wait, can I give this in context?
Go ahead,
if
man.
I may.
Yeah, because I'm interested.
Do we want that to happen? Because he's only a guest.
No, just the context.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So if you dug these tweets out, they would have been from 2014.
All right.
Right. Mm-hmm. During the run, the weekly airings of Cosmos on Sunday night in prime time on Fox. That's exactly. Right. All right. Then we learned that of the 13-week run, one of those nights was going to get bumped.
No.
For NASCAR.
Uh-huh.
And I said, what? You're going to put NASCAR in for Cosmos? Excuse me?
Did you use those exact words?
No.
Or did you?
But so I said, all right, I am going to fight fire with fire, okay? And I said, for all those who wanted to see Cosmos, but now are watching NASCAR, I'm going to tweet the physics of NASCAR.
Oh.
And this way, I'm respecting
right.
that it's Memorial Day weekend. You got to do the NASCAR thing.
Right.
It's Sunday night, family, everybody's home. NASCAR is a huge following.
Yes.
But I'm going to be pumping this stuff with some physics. And that's what I did.
I don't know why they just didn't have you on Cosmos, but put a bunch of, like, branding stickers all over you. And just let you do Cosmos, like Pennzoil here, and, you know,
Amco. Let it run around the track.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
In overalls with a whole load of branding.
That would be the collision of NASCAR and the astrophysics.
Yeah. That's very cool. Yeah. All right, so if we can bring up our first tweet, we'll see what it says.
And fabulous.
Rubber tires on asphalt grant a maximum speed of about 165 miles per hour in the 24-degree bank turns at Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Okay, for me, the interesting part in there is the 24-degree banking.
Yeah.
Now, is there a difference or is that a standard for a NASCAR track?
Well, I can't speak as an expert of NASCAR, but what I can tell you is, in order to do that calculation, you have to know the angle of the bank.
Right.
And it turns out within some tracks, the banks are not the same.
Mm-hmm.
The bank angle is not the same on different turns, and it's not the same from track to track. So that's all I can say. I don't know what rules or what regulations are there, but all I can say is at Charlotte Motor Speedway, the angle of the track is 24 degrees.
How do I use that? So as a race driver,
how
am I going to use that banking to my advantage over my opponent at, say, 165?
Yeah, so it all depends on what is the coefficient of friction between your tires and the road. Let's start at 0 degrees. So here's a track that has no bank at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can imagine that. Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, no bank.
Just an oval.
If there was no friction between your tires and the road, and you try to go into a turn, you just keep going straight.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to turn.
All right.
Because you're not connected to the road. So you're in a straight line, and you will continue in a straight line unless acted on by an outside force, one of Newton's laws of motion. Okay. So now watch what happens. Holding aside a coefficient of friction,
right?
If you bank the track, what will happen is the track now turns you.
Right.
Okay? The track can actually engage a turn even with no coefficient of friction at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's cool, okay?
Yeah.
So now put in friction,
mm-hmm.
and now you've got grip, you've got a turn. So you can just take that turn. Just feel that turn. And you know it and you feel it. So there is one speed that will maximize how fast you can go, depending on the friction between your tires and the road and the angle and, the radius of curvature.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Because if it's banked, but it's like really
wide, that's not good.
It's not a thing. So it's you have to measure the radius of curvature. That's why I had to specify the bank turns at Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Right.
That's not a general statement about speed and the bank. So how tight is the turn? So there's one speed and it's 165 miles an hour. At a coefficient of friction of 1, generally asphalt and rubber comes in about a coefficient of friction of 1, okay? That's really good.
Okay.
That's why tires work very well on roads. That's why. It's not an accident.
Right.
Okay?
So what forces are we going to do?
They're gripping.
They're basically. Yes.
They call them toothy.
Yes.
They're
now,
biting
now,
the road.
Now, you can increase the coefficient of friction above 1 if the tire is kind of gummy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if the tire is gummy,
so the composition of the tire,
then it's actually grabbing the ground, you can get the coefficient of friction slightly above 1. Now, here's why that matters. Ready?
Okay.
Okay.
Are we sitting comfortably? Please tell.
If you're going to accelerate something, and you say 0 to 60 in, this is America, so we're in miles per hour here, okay?
I'm just cool with that.
So
yeah, yeah.
Not on 0 to 100 kilometers per hour. No, this is America, me. Jack.
As a Brit, miles.
Oh, you're, that's good. Right, because they invented miles. Right.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
They go way back with miles.
Didn't want to drop that invention thing on you, but yeah.
All right, so here's what you have to ask the question. What is the fastest you can accelerate from 0 to 60? That's a very that's a sensible question.
Yeah.
It is not infinite. It's just not, okay? And it depends on your coefficient of friction. At a coefficient of friction of 1, where tires gripping, it's not a gummy tire, just a regular coefficient, right? The fastest you can accelerate is the acceleration of gravity itself.
Ooh, which is
really
fixed.
Which is fixed. Exactly. That is the fastest you can accelerate.
Wow.
And so, in other words, if you drop a ball, you look at how quickly it gains speed, and then you have a car with a really powerful engine that wants to accelerate as fast as ball, it goes this way. So they'll like go exactly the same speed. Okay? This is an interesting fact about coefficients of friction and acceleration. You could accelerate faster if it has a rocket coming out the back.
Right.
But then it's the ground is irrelevant.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's just pushing it regardless.
You've taken away the element of
coefficient. You take away the tire road connection.
Oh, it's just being pushed. It's not accelerating.
Right,
from
exactly.
The tire. So,
or if it is on a track where you have intersecting teeth on a gear, then you can just rotate that as fast as you want.
Right.
So what happens if you've got tires that are too soft, engage too much? Do you not then impede the speed that you can?
No. If you have really gummy tires, in fact, they warm up the tires.
This adds
to the grip and everything. And if you look at the tires of dragsters, okay, that you get those, oh my gosh, it's like, you know, I'm going to get my hand off.
It's like chewing gum.
And it's why they call them slicks.
Right.
It's full surface contact with the ground. There's no treads in there. Because they don't drag race in the rain.
Exactly. For some reason.
You want maximum.
Yeah. All their tires are bald.
Yeah, they're bald. They're basically bald. So another thing is to help out, if you have all your jet exhaust pointing backwards, that gives you a little. I don't know how much, but it's you might as well have the jet exhaust pointing backwards instead of forwards.
Right.
Because then you're going against your own
everything
you can get.
Yeah.
And sometimes that matters, you know, in races where a fraction of a second comes in. So all I'm saying is you can calculate this. So I did that calculation for Charlotte Motor Speedway. It was 165 miles an hour. Then you watch them in the race. There they are hitting above 200 in the straightaways. Then they go to the turn. And at the peak turn, they're 165 miles an hour every time. You have to watch. They have that little arrow that follows the car around.
Right.
And it gives you data on the thing. And so what happened was when I tweeted that, people said, no, these are special cars, and what do you know? You're just a physicist. As though somehow physics has nothing to do with this, was the implication.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, at the peak turn, that's where that speed matters. They have to slow down. By the way, if you go faster than that, you're not going to stay connected to the road, and you hit the embankment.
You're
flying. You look at the embankment, there's a lot of bumps on the edge of the embankment.
That's driver intelligence, that's driver knowledge of each particular track
Well, they would have to know. Charlotte. I presume they would. Yeah. Someone would tell them this.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah. There's a whole team of analytics.
Like the guy who did 175 miles per hour. I'm sure he told them maximum speed of 165. Because as his car was flung off the bank and out of the arena.
Now, of course, you can do 100, 200, 190, 180 going into it.
Right.
Because you're slowing down. At that point, you just don't want that to happen. And who was it? Was it Mario Andretti who said, if you're in complete control of your car, you're not in the race?
Wow.
So I've heard that. They might be trying 166, 160. Uh-huh. You're testing those limits of physics.
Right.
Otherwise, you're not in the race. You don't want to do it safe.
They have to drive in the red zone all the time.
All the time. Yeah. Yeah. If I believe. I mean, why wouldn't I believe it? You see what these guys are doing out there. Yeah.
All right, Chuck, let's get to another tweet. We're going to stick with the
Charlotte Motor Speedway, which clearly you were watching this when you were tweeting.
Yep.
But the Charlotte Motor Speedway increased their banking angle from 24 degrees to 31 degrees. the Earth as we know it would stop its rotation. No, no, that didn't say that. It didn't say that.
Okay.
It didn't say that. It says if they increase their banking angle from 24 to 31 degrees, the cars could do the turn at 200 miles per hour.
Right.
So this must be what you were talking about. The bank is turning the car itself.
Exactly.
So the deeper the bank, the higher the speed can be because you're getting the force that's pressing the car against the bank.
More of a force to enable that turn.
Right.
It's not just the sliding of tires against road sideways that's trying to prevent you from sliding, mm-hmm. okay, that would then enable the turn. It's the bank is empowering your car to go at a higher speed in order to make that turn.
See, that would be interesting from a racing point of view because it means I could hit the straightaway at 200 and not lose energy through braking coming into the bend.
Not only that, if you drive at the exact speed that the bank was calculated for, mm-hmm. you'd never have to turn your steering wheel.
Because the car thinks it's going straight the whole time.
It's going in a straight line.
Yeah.
The car does not.
So you just surf it.
Right. But so what's interesting to me is if you know this about the turns, the only steering you're doing is to maneuver in front and behind cars to position yourself.
Right.
So there's a whole other jockeying of what's going on among the cars. And it's not, I got to turn left. And that was the joke in Charlotte, the town. All right. They say in Charlotte, people only know how to turn left. Okay.
Right. Yes.
That's the joke.
Right.
Because all the tracks go clockwise or counterclockwise around. And I'm saying if they're hitting the turns at the exact speed, they're not even turning the wheel to do that.
How brave is the driver that goes into the turn and goes, nah, I'll let the car take some of this? Oh, not a chance. So how much of a change in angle on the banking could we get away with? And what sort of speeds could we play
well,
with?
Well, I, my general question would be, you want more action, you want more speeds, why not just increase the angle?
Right.
Here's the problem. If you're not doing 200 miles an hour,
yep.
the car is going to want to slide down.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You don't have enough force pinning it against the
Yeah,
the
so if something goes down going into the turn and you don't keep up that speed, the car is not stable on the bank.
And this is for NASCAR, because we're about to revolutionize them with this physics, point. Is it possible to get to a speed where you not only can go up, but total Hot Wheels corkscrew? Because then I'm a NASCAR fan. Now I'm a NASCAR fan. Okay? It's like you go into the turn, you're up on the bank, and then all of a sudden, corkscrew through, and you come out the other side.
Yeah, the answer is yes.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, they do it in amusement parks.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Most roller coasters.
And the wall of death, the vertical wall where the cyclist
goes around. So, for example, so it's just you have to be, if you travel fast, so in other words, let me restate your comment. If you travel fast enough, then you can, so now you're going up. All right, because if you go a corkscrew, you have to go up.
Right.
So if you're traveling fast enough, you can give yourself enough upward momentum so that your car continues to press against a surface that is pointing downwards.
Right.
Okay? And then you come down off of that and do it another time. Yeah, in principle, you can design a racetrack where cars do corkscrews. But you have to be careful because you don't want the car to like stall before you go into it.
Yes.
Then you fall out. And
oh, that's amazing.
No.
Oh my God, you're making me such a NASCAR fan right now. Corkscrews and cars falling from the sky.
Well, yeah, if you don't hit the speed.
Right.
It's all about the speed that you got to hit. And so, yeah, that's a whole other danger factor.
That's awesome.
It ain't even about the crash. Is your car going to fall out of the sky?
It will fall out of the sky.
Right.
See, this is why I don't watch NASCAR, because I grew up on Speed Racer. And those
Speed Racer.
You remember Speed Racer?
Here comes
Speed Racer. He's a demon on wheels. He's barreling down the travel like he's never ever going to come back. Okay.
This is real, right? I haven't dreamt this, that you two are sitting next to each other.
The power of pop culture on childhood.
On childhood. It's childhood pop culture.
Right.
I need to lie down, and this means we're going to take a break. Please stick with us. We'll try and find out what top speeds NASCAR get to and what we think can happen if we can get close to 300 miles an hour, what kind of banking we'll get then. So if you want to find out, stick around. This is Playing with Science, and we'll be back very, very shortly.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back. I'm Gary O'Reilly.
And I'm Chuck Nice.
And this is Playing
with Science.
Yes, it is. And we are delving into the tweets of Neil deGrasse Tyson regarding NASCAR. If you missed the first section, don't worry, we've got plenty more. But go back and have a good listen, because we discuss an awful lot of science in the sport of NASCAR. So let's get to our next tweet, Chuck.
Yes. Wait a minute. Are you a fan of NASCAR? Have you ever followed NASCAR?
I've been at one NASCAR race in my life.
Oh yeah,
I never understood why there was so much more interest in NASCAR relative to Formula One, at least in the United States. I just didn't understand that. Did they have better marketing? Because, you know, the Formula One cars are pretty cool looking, right?
Oh my God.
Right?
They're like rockets with wheels.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're so low to the ground.
They're
far off the ground.
Right. So I never understood the difference in appeal.
Right.
I'd like high-performance people. I like high-performance machines, just as a general thing.
I'll tell you why Formula One is not as popular here in America as NASCAR. Because Formula One racers speak like this. And NASCAR drivers talk like this, damn it!
That's America!
America! Okay.
As the only, as the token European, I feel I should stand up, but I just think I'm going to get knocked back down again.
No, it's nothing against you.
I know it's not against me, but anyway, it's interesting. One's an oval, and you couldn't put a NASCAR race in Monte Carlo, but you can with a Formula One, which is so, so special. Anyway,
absolutely.
Next tweet. Let's go there.
All right.
I know what it is. They need Formula Two. That's what it's been. Formula One for so long.
Yeah.
Yes. Time for Formula One.
There are other formulas coming down. Plus, there's an E formula.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. Yes.
Oh yeah, that's soup.
Electric cars.
Yeah. Oh, and they race. Yeah. They are rapid. Proper, seriously rapid. But next tweet, let's go.
Here we go. Spoilers increase the effective weight traction over a car's rear wheels at high speed without increasing the car's mass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's start out for a second. Have you noticed, either in cars you've driven or observing a police car, that if you have a heavy trunk, You actually, your car is more stable on the road. Have you ever, I don't know if you've ever noticed this.
I transport a lot of bodies in my truck.
Okay, so that, you should know.
So I'm very well aware.
So you would know. And police cars can also be weighted towards the, back in the day when you had rear wheel traction.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you would, if you have higher weight over those wheels, then in occasions where you might have spun out.
Right.
You don't.
You don't.
Right. And any time your car is spinning, then you don't have full traction with the ground and you're not in complete control of your car.
It's like sledding.
I don't sled.
Well, drifting.
So. You don't sled? Dude, I'm telling you right now, this winter, me, you, Central Park, Giant Hill, we're taking it on, baby. But no, here's the deal. In sledding, you need a fat kid on your sled team.
Oh.
If you don't have a fat kid on your sled team, forget it.
You don't, you're just... So it gives you more traction.
Right. You need, that's just what you were saying.
I did
you didn't
not
get
know.
That email about political correctness.
Oh.
I didn't know this about, okay.
So go ahead.
Yeah. So the point is, if you're spinning, increase the weight and then the contact with the ground becomes, the integrity gets restored mm-hmm. and your traction
Trouble is, putting a whole load of bricks in the back of your NAS car, what? You're going to lose everything because it's weight. But this is downforce
exactly.
without.
Exactly. Right. So your weight is whatever a scale will show. Okay.
Right.
So
let's
yes,
not talk about
you,
that. I've been eating donuts lately. I'm just saying, a lot of Mexican. Let's not talk about the scale.
You could put bricks in the trunk of every NASCAR to increase that traction.
Right. Yeah.
You could do that, but then the engine. Now the motor has to accelerate more weight.
So
and Newton's second law of motion, the force equals the mass times acceleration. If the mass goes up, then you're getting a lower acceleration
right.
from the force. You're not going to go as fast, okay?
Yeah.
Or you're not going to be as nimble. So is there any way to increase the weight on the back wheels or the weight of the car without increasing the mass of the car?
Yes,
and there is.
Yeah.
And that's what the spoiler does.
That's what the spoiler
does. So as you're driving, air comes across the spoiler, presses down, increases the weight of the car without increasing the mass of the car. And this greatly improves your traction, especially at high speed.
So you said about the Formula One race cars being super sexy.
Right.
If you look at the curvature from the side, the profile of the car, it comes up over the front wheel, comes down and then up over the back. So what it's doing is dragging the airflow, and you're going to tell me exactly what the physics is. It's making that airflow over the rear wheels push that weight down. Therefore, you don't increase the mass of the vehicle, but you are increasing the downforce. Is that right?
Right. So I don't know if the shape of the vehicle so much as the spoiler itself,
yeah.
whose sole job is this. Mm. There are other factors in the shape of the vessel regarding the aerodynamics.
Yep.
What you don't want is to have turbulence in the back of your car, which then creates a drag, a suction. It's kind of a backwards drag on your car. This is why drafting works, okay?
Yes.
So you have a car that would have turbulence in the back. You come up behind it,
mm-hmm.
okay? Now, it works in two ways. One, the car that's leading moves faster because it doesn't have the drag behind it. So people say, stop drafting off of me, I'm towing you. You're not actually towing the car.
Right.
No. You want the person there.
Right.
Now,
you actually want
to be the second car rather than the first car, but if you are the first car, it's better to have someone drafting than not. That's all I'm saying.
Because that drafter is eliminating their drag.
The drafter is eliminating the new car drag. Correct.
Yeah.
So now the air comes back, and you have someone else directing that, and someone else directing that. And now you are sucked in behind it. So this affects fuel efficiency too.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. I did this experiment once. So you know when I first got a car that tracked what your instantaneous
your fuel consumption.
Your fuel consumption.
Yeah.
You know miles per gallon.
Right.
And you notice if you take your foot off the pedal, the miles per gallon goes up because you're moving, but you're not.
You're not sucking gas.
Okay, so I just doing my own physics experiments on the road. This is my first outing in a car that did this.
Okay. Right? You know, you might have a problem.
No. So watch. So I do this, and I say, so I wonder what'll happen if I get behind this truck. So I'm driving, and I'm getting like 25 miles a gallon, and then I slide in behind the truck, and my foot is still on the accelerator. Okay, and whoa, it was like 80 miles a gallon. I was behind the truck.
Because you're drafting the
truck. I'm drafting the truck. And it was like, whoa.
And Neil drove all the way to Florida, and he was only going to the store for some bread.
Remember the show we did with Lance Armstrong?
So you could do this experiment. That's a fascinating experiment.
Remember the show?
With Lance? Yeah.
Yeah, Lance, and you got into this.
Yeah, yeah.
How
yeah.
you advocated following trucks down the freeway.
Yes.
And I said there and then, there's under no circumstances are you allowed to drive me anywhere on a long distance.
Well, just, I mean, but for the sake of the experiment,
yes,
for sure,
course,
you would agree.
Yes, of course, of course.
I follow trucks too, but only because they're sexy.
We'll leave you with that.
I'm just saying, so the shape of the vehicle is more related to its aerodynamics so that you don't have drag rather than the downward force that is you're otherwise getting from the spoiler.
If you're the car in front, can you create dirty air for the driver behind you that really plays with their
driving? It's really just the shape of your car.
All right.
Yeah, it's all. And in NASCAR, all the shapes are the same.
Yes.
It's all been neutralized, basically.
Mm. So in NASCAR, is drafting like a strategy like it is in the Tour de France?
I don't see why it wouldn't be. I
mean, yeah. Yeah. You see the sort of daisy chain of cars in races as they go round and round and round, and all of a sudden they pull that slingshot.
What's
going on when they pull that slingshot maneuver and use the energy to achieve that overtaking?
No, I don't know the strategies of what's going on in the mind of the folks who are making these maneuvers. Mm-hmm. It's always odd to me that if you're third, when and how and why are you going to then take second and then take first? Mm. You know, what are the strategies and how does that work? I can't tell you.
Don't worry, the Twitterverse will tell us. As soon as this podcast is out, right now, there are people feverishly typing to tell us exactly how that happened.
Right, or when you would judge to do that, is my point.
Right. Yeah, please.
Because if the cars are, to the extent that the cars are the same, you are then judging who's the better driver.
Right.
And then it's not about the physics, it's about who's the better driver. That's all. My conversation ends where the physics ends, and then the driver strategies begin.
In the end of the first pit, I said we'll get into the sort of speed. So if we got NASCARs hitting 300 miles an hour, say, in the future, what sort
you'd have to design the tracks differently.
Yeah, what sort of angle? We talked about 24 and 31 degrees. What sort of angles would you anticipate the banking being? What could we
see? It's a very straight calculation. So if you have straightaways long enough to sustain 300 miles an hour and you don't want to slow down on the bank, I'd have to do the calculation, but a 40-degree bank, 45-degree, 50-degree bank. Now, have you ever walked on the banked surface at NASCAR? Have you ever done that?
No.
You basically can't. You're like... Because the slope is higher,
it's higher than any
hill you have ever walked up.
Right.
Okay, so it's already banked steeply. It's already steep. Just next time something happens on the track in the bank section, watch the guys go up to try, if there's an accident or something, watch the guys trying to, it's like walking on a roof, okay?
A mountaineering.
A pitched roof, right?
Yeah, pitched roof. Yeah. You can't
do it.
Right. It's hard. It's hard.
You can do it, it's just
You can do it hard, yeah. And if you go to the NASCAR Museum in Charlotte, they have a car parked on the slope of the track. And it's like, did they just lift this up for me to see?
Right.
Is that why this is? No, that's the slope of the track.
That's right. Wow. They're trying to show you exactly what
exactly how that goes down.
I just want to see your bank track walk again, because that was...
No!
So for those of you who are... listening, you missed a super cool, Neil's bank track walk looks like a cross between Fred Sanford having a heart attack and somebody doing the poopy walk to the bathroom. It was awesome.
I have to agree.
We have to talk.
What it looked like.
We need to talk.
So the value of the spoiler is you have better traction there.
Right.
And what's interesting, there's some models of Porsche, you know, commercial Porsches, where there's a spoiler that comes up only above a certain speed.
Yeah. Oh, that's standard on a number of
vehicles. What's funny to me is if you left your radar gun at home and your cop, and a Porsche goes by and a spoiler is up, just write him a damn ticket.
Ding. Right. Ding.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I would see that the Porsche, and I thought the guy was just showing off for me.
Okay.
Like, you know, like, but really what he was doing was like, eat my dust. But you get to a certain point and that spoiler comes up.
Yeah, and you know it. And by the way, spoiler is not so useful at low speeds.
Right.
Because the downward force is not significant. Cool. But at high speeds, it's really significant.
And it's not driver controlled. It's just the car does it because the car knows it needs to do that because it's triggered off at a certain speed. Absolutely.
And by the way, if and the spoilers of old, I haven't seen them lately, but they had like the cross section of an airplane wing.
Yes. Right.
Okay. But upside down.
Right.
So that the force pushes down instead of up. Right. But if you happen to have that at the wrong angle.
Yeah.
And you reduce the pressure on your wheels, all hell breaks loose. I mean, you can't. Then you're not in control of the car.
Right.
And the car tumbles
and flips.
Yeah,
you flip the car.
Yeah, you can flip the car.
Look at you just constantly finding ways to make NASCAR better.
I'm just saying. But we got to get to 300 miles an hour somehow.
Right. So what is the top speed? Do you guys
know? I don't know.
I don't know what the top speed
of
NASCAR
is. There are cars.
Are they limited? Is it limited?
I'm sure it is.
Why did you bring an NASCAR expert here? I just know physics.
No, we're just interested in your tweets, and this is
okay.
There will be experts out there listening to this show who will feedback into us, and please do.
Okay.
But there are cars being developed now that are going to topping out at 300 miles an hour.
Okay.
And I can't believe for one second the good people who build the NASCARs won't have that kind of technology, that ability, particularly electric hybrid engines that are going to just tear through 300 miles an hour. So, like you said, the straightaways are going to have to be longer.
Yeah,
tracks are going to have to be different.
And if you want a high speed turn, it's got to be a more significant.
If you're a designer of NASCAR tracks and you're listening, please build in a corkscrew, just for my friend. Guaranteed an extra viewer. Right, we're going to take our next break. I hope you've enjoyed so far because we've got plenty more NASCAR thoughts from Neil when we get back. Stay tuned.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome back. I'm Gary O'Reilly.
And I'm Chuck Nice.
And this is Playing with Science. A little NASCAR special for you, brought to you by the tweets of Neil deGrasse Tyson. Chuck, let's get stuck straight in.
That was a thank you. That was my NASCAR. Thank you.
Oh, can I tell you why that is an inaccurate...
What? What I just did?
Okay, I've only been to one.
Come on now, Neil. Let me tell you something.
Sit still and take your medicine.
It is such a rare occasion that I would ever disagree with you only because it never works. So I'm trying to figure out how this is not NASCAR.
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
But it's for an obscure reason. Okay?
All right.
We love an obscure reason.
I'm not speaking for all tracks. I've been to one NASCAR race. It was at Daytona, okay?
Right.
And so one of my great disappointments was they had speakers at every sort of interval of the track of the sound of the race going into the audience.
Are you telling me that it's not true Doppler happening?
That's my point.
Oh.
So all you hear is... because wherever they are, that's the sound of the race. And I so wanted to be full up Doppler gangster, yes. Right? Where the cars go, meow.
Right. Meow. See, you know why? Because
that's the Doppler effect.
That's
and I wanted the Doppler effect, and he didn't. Give me the Doppler
effect. If you're listening, amazing. The good people of NASCAR, please, 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 because I hate to see him like this. I hate to see him so effective.
So you know,
by his lack of Doppler effect.
So here we go. A car in motion, mm-hmm. whether or not it's in motion, anything that makes a sound, emanates sound waves in all directions, moving at the speed of sound. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so you can look at the frequency of that sound, and there's a wavelength
yes.
associated with it.
Yep,
all right? And so there it is coming this way, that way, that way. If the car now moves, it makes a sound when it's over here, but the next time it makes a wave, it's further in this direction. So the next wave is now closer in separation in the front than it is in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next wave is pushing in this direction.
So you're pushing the waves in the front and leaving,
stretching the waves in the back. And so the waves in the front change frequency. It's a higher pitch.
That's
and the waves behind are a lower pitch.
Ah.
So Christian Doppler first discovered this,
yes.
a German physicist, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and he did it with train whistles, okay? So the train comes towards you, he noticed it had a higher pitch than when it's just in front of you than when it was passing, moving away from you. So that's why you go, so it's high pitch. And we associate that with, but
which number car was that?
Watch. So we know that sound.
Right.
We fully understand. We know that sound, but have you ever thought about it? It doesn't go, it's not what it does.
No.
And so you have to be curious enough, as Doppler was, to think about this. And he wrote a formula. It's called the Doppler effect. And it applies to cars and train whistles and in the universe, we get like the speeds of things
yeah.
By looking at how the frequency of light has shifted
right.
in our galaxy. So, anyhow, that's why. Now, maybe other tracks don't have speakers
no,
all around.
Speakers,
then
right.
you would hear their no.
Yeah.
But otherwise.
And please tweet us for your favorite Neil deGrasse Tyson impersonation. Whatever. Just put a wish list together of what you would like Neil or Chuck to impersonate, and we'll do our best.
What would be weird if it went. So that would be the time reverse Doppler effect.
That's a Doppler orgasm.
Why?
No.
Why?
Okay.
All right. What's next?
I don't know.
Sorry.
You completely confused me.
Okay. Let's move on.
Do another one. Do another tweet. While I come to terms with that, my head hurts.
Now that NASA isn't launching space shuttles, would it be cool if at NASCAR, allowed drivers to attach unused solid rocket boosters.
Come on.
Right. I mean, why not? I mean, if you have all these other sponsoring agents, the Army, you know, the Navy, they're and I'm thinking, why don't we have NASA sponsor a car?
Right.
But then it would kind of have to win every race.
That's true.
Right?
That's
so true. How would you make sure of that? So you slip in some solid rocket boosters, I think, and wait, and then maybe no one can notice. And
no one will notice this big Saturn V. Right. There's a big Saturn V on wheels sat the start line, and no one's. You're not seeing that.
It would just
really
be kind of cool, but then it's a rocket. It's a rocket race rather than a road race. That's the problem.
I still like it. And by the way, I think there needs to be more cheating in NASCAR. So, you know,
doping at NASCAR.
Yeah,
right.
I'm all for NASCAR doping, man. I mean, all the cars are exactly the same.
Engine doping.
You know, I understand that is what creates for our lack of a better term, perfect competition.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Driver against driver.
Driver against driver. Yeah. All the machines are the same, but
right to the same weight too.
Yeah.
Right.
But the thing is, like, even in cycling or even in cafe racing, you can make modifications to the
cafe
bike,
racing?
The motorcycles, where they
cafe
racers, yeah.
That's what that's called.
Where they pull the bike down.
And they got a knee thing, stop touching
like
the
speedway.
Ground.
Yeah, speedway.
The cafe racers are the one with the little round front, mm-hmm. the older ones back in the day. That's
the motorcyclists that lean like that.
Yeah.
The reason why they're leaning is because the track is not banked high enough.
Right. They're actually pulling the bike down.
Right, right. Okay, so if they banked the track, they wouldn't have to lean so much. Yes. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but then it wouldn't be as cool.
On a MotoGP track, if they banked it, when you see those guys flying...
Yeah, it's not as fun to watch. It wouldn't be as fun to watch. So if you banked it so that it was perpendicular to the angle that they are wanting to achieve anyway, then they're just driving a straight line.
Well, let me tell you, now that's fun.
Then you wouldn't need the knee guards.
Yeah. Well, you need them. I used to ride, and that's the best part of riding a motorcycle.
Oh, you used to have a pretty face before that.
End of a beautiful friendship. That's that friendship.
Actually, that was good. I like it. I appreciated that. Okay. All right, so
next one up.
Solid rocket boosters for NASCAR. I'm all about it. Yeah. Okay, let's move on. At 200 miles per hour.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Yes?
One last thing about the solid rocket boosters you might not have known.
Okay.
Okay? Do you remember the space shuttle when it launched? They had two solid rocket boosters, one on the left and one on the right. Okay. And then a big old orange tank in the middle.
Yes.
Okay? The orange tank has liquid fuel. You can throttle that. You can stop it. You can make it more or less. Mm-hmm. And that fuel comes out of that tank through the shuttle and comes out the nozzles out of the back.
Okay.
The solid rocket boosters are standalone things. When you ignite a solid rocket booster, they do not shut off until there's no
until
fuel left
empty.
In. Until it's empty.
Wow.
Okay? So, when they begin the main engine, they do that a few seconds before. Is everything good? Oh, it's not good. Cut it off.
Right, because the solid rocket boosters.
Okay, but the moment they hit the solid rocket boosters,
that's it.
It is going to orbit. Okay?
That's great.
Almost to orbit. So, what happens is, once they ignite, it is not coming back to Cape Canaveral.
So it's
So what? So those puppies have to like run their course, and then it lands in Spain.
Right,
is what happens. That's the so they have these landing points.
So good luck with steering one of those rocket NASCARs.
Oh, right. So once you ignite a solid rocket booster,
it's over. It's a done deal.
Chuck, that's a wild ride.
I love it.
That's a wild ride.
Houston, we left the door open. Sorry. Sorry. Solid rocket boosters are in effect, babe. We'll
see. So the one thing you could do on a NASCAR with a solid rocket is save on braking.
Yeah, because you can't do it.
You can't brake. There's no brake.
Exactly.
If you tried to brake it, then... You know, put on brakes, you would just melt the tires into the road.
I'm telling
you
guys.
You're already weight saving.
Listen, I am telling you guys right now, between the two of you, you have vastly improved the sport of NASCAR, okay?
With all these ideas.
With all these ideas,
you're
okay?
Welcome.
Corkscrew tracks, no brakes.
Yeah, high bank turns.
High bank turns. Yeah. Let me tell you something. No brake NASCAR? I'm watching that.
I wonder why.
I'm watching that.
Fox presents No Break NASCAR.
You want to talk about the highest ratings ever? You put 30 cars on the track with no brakes? That is amazing.
Copyrighted playing with science. Right.
No Breaks NASCAR.
Yeah, all let's do our next tweet.
There you go. No Breaks NASCAR, baby. It's coming your way. Yep. All right, let's move on to our next one. At 200 miles per hour, a nice NASCAR speed. It takes 1,200 hours or 50 days to drive to the moon, and drivers would never need to turn left.
you're in a mischievous mood when you're like that.
Yeah. So just to be clear, if you're going to drive to the moon, you don't aim for the moon.
Okay.
What you have to do is aim for where the moon will be when you get there.
Right. That makes sense because the moon is moving.
The moon is moving, and this is a 50-day drive, so that's 1 2/3 of a lunar cycle. So what will happen is you aim for some empty part of space. Mm-hmm. The moon will pass in front of you, make a full orbit around the Earth again, and then
that's
it's there when you get
it.
There. Yeah.
Wow. So,
and we don't normally think about it that way, but these are sort of pirouetting performers in a cosmic ballet, choreographed by the forces of gravity.
So you don't need a
that
GPS.
That was very eloquent. It makes me feel like I should watch a J-Lo show where planets are dancing. Okay.
You're going to be watching that on your own.
On your own, yeah.
50 days to drive to the moon, which is just a couple days longer than it takes to do the Daytona 500, so it's good. Which that thing is like what, 7 weeks long?
No.
What? How long?
You can do the math. If it's 500, it's 500 miles.
Right.
They're going 200 miles an hour. It's a 2.5 hour race.
Is that all? That maybe.
Do the math.
I don't.
So it's just 3 hours because they're not always 200 miles an hour.
I know. But see,
so you say, because you say 500 miles, that would take me 3 days and a pee break, right, to do. Okay, but if you're going 200 miles an hour, just do the math. 500 miles divided by 200 miles per hour,
right,
is 2.5 hours.
See, I'm gonna have to take your word for that because I don't have my phone with the calculator on it. Because I have a Google Brain now.
Okay. So there's a new app called the Brain app.
There it is. I have a Google Brain. I don't do these calculations in my head.
There's software, there's hardware, the brain is wetware. Yes.
There you go. Okay. That's right.
So if we're going to drive to the moon, we don't need GPS. We need another system of guidance.
You need a system of orbital mechanics to know that the moon will be there when you arrive in this empty part of space that you're headed towards.
Wow, that's not a really, that's a really bad miscalculation to make.
Yeah, it would be.
It's like when you show up and you're like, hey guys, shouldn't the moon be here?
It should have been
here. Guys, the moon should have been here like an hour ago. What's happening?
It's not like you wind the window down and ask for directions.
But consider, it's not that we are stationary and the moon is moving around us.
Right.
We are not only rotating, we are orbiting the sun. So we are on a moving platform, trying to hit a moving platform.
So are these?
So really, you need to remember your physics for this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So these orbital mechanics work for, you have to do that no matter what. So like the Philae lander, no matter what you're shooting in the space
look
to go someplace.
Look at him talking about the Philae lander.
No, let him.
That's the lander from
Star Trek. Lander on from Star Trek.
Rosetta mission.
Rosetta.
Rosetta mission to a comet. Had a lander called Philae.
Right.
And this is mostly a European mission. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it didn't succeed then.
No.
Is that what you're telling me?
No,
they actually succeeded.
We lost a Mars rover, didn't we? Beagle.
Yeah, because there was a mismatch of, was that the one where they mismatched newtons of thrust and pounds of thrust?
It looked like a really sophisticated.
Yeah, there was the measurement. Yeah.
So it's the disparity in measurements that caused it to screw up.
Right, because the engineers did one thing, the scientists did another, and we lost an entire.
It looked like a really complicated skateboard, from memory.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
So, well, there you go. If you're going to drive to the moon, the thing that you have to make sure of is your orbital mechanics.
Yeah, because on Earth, you're driving to something that you see, it's there, and you just vector towards it.
Right.
You can't do that in space. Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Yeah. So, notes for the future. Remember, you heard it here first. Sir, what a pleasure.
Yeah. What a fun show. Yeah.
We did all the tweets?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
And you're going to have to tweet more.
Yeah, now you're going to have to make more tweets about NASCAR.
But
yeah.
So I think there was another NASCAR tweet. I think you missed it.
What?
Okay. Ooh. I just asked, am I the last person in the world to realize that race car spelled backwards is race car?
Dun, dun, dun.
Wait a minute. Mushroom cloud!
So now we've messed with your mind as well as Chuck's.
But race car people, I think, know that because in the response to that Twitter, I tweeted that.
Right. Yeah.
And they said, yes, you are the last person in the world to know this.
Yeah, that's a palindrome, right?
I forgot.
I think that's called a palindrome.
All right.
When it's spelled the same way forward and backwards. Uh-huh. That, I did not know that, by the way.
Race car.
You are not the last person in the world. Yeah. I am the last person in the world now.
But the longest, like, legit one of those.
The longest legit palindrome?
Yeah, you know the longest one.
No.
Okay. A man, a plan, a canal, Panama.
A man, a plan, a canal, Panama. Now I'm reading it backwards in my mind right now. You're correct.
Yes, that's why you have me on the show.
So, listeners,
there are longer ones, but they're just weird.
That's my go-to, right? So Neil says something, and I go, you're right.
I feel like bitch slapping him. It's like, what?
and then I basically get to take credit for your brain. Like, let me think about this, Neil. God, you're right.
No. So the thing is, if I were actually wrong, I'd want to know immediately.
Of course.
But I invest a lot of energy trying to get it right. But I can't be right 100% of all times I'm ever speaking.
No.
So I welcome comments if people think I did something.
Oh, and there's
right.
a lot of them.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's our show.
That's our show. Once again, we have proved every day is a school day. And play with science, and you get what, Chuck?
You get No Brakes NASCAR. It's coming.
No Brakes.
Yep, that's the way it is. It's been Playing with Science. Thank you so much to Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Absolutely.
Chuck and I will be back soon. Stick around for our next show.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.